Hi, and welcome back to Real and Unrefined, where, having decided on a different future for ourselves, you and I examine the changes that we want and need to make to move forward, to transform and really live with the intention of having the life that we dream of. Now, we've been talking about being ourselves, and sometimes the hardest thing to do is to have the courage to be who it is we really are. And yet, in a weird way, that can be easier than for those who are struggling to figure out where they fit or even if they belong. So, how can you be unrefined? The real you? And what does it take? I think that what makes it even more challenging in a way is that so many people from your past, my past, know a version of you that does not exist anymore. You know, when you or I were a child, we behaved, experienced, and identified as a child. As a young adult, we behaved, learned, and acted as such within the constructs of the society to which we belonged. And that is how we were known. And through each stage of our journey, we grew into ourselves a little more, with different people and experiences coming into and going out of our life. We are social beings, you know, and we like to form communities or tribes. We do that naturally, and we want to be with like-minded people. And we're born into communities and tribes. And these tribes of ours can have either a positive or negative effect on our identity, our sense of self, and even our sense of belonging. And it is in this society that we receive our instruction or information on how to be. So by that I mean, you know, if when we're born into an environment, it is the rules within that environment that dictate the way we will live. So everything we know, we have actually learned, and we've been taught, so how to behave, how to think, what is appropriate, what isn't appropriate, and that can label us, and it puts us into a box, as it were. And this box often does not free us unless we choose to remove ourselves from it. And to do so is to recognize that these labels are man-made by the tribe or traditions or even the expectations of the environment to which we belong to at the time. And, or rather really, what if that is not for you? You know, what if you don't fit? What happens then? If we make that decision to step into ourselves, then it might feel like we're shedding that layer of skin that is all we have ever known. That layer might be tight, it might be uncomfortable, and it might not have been the right fit, but it was what we knew, it was familiar to us, it was all that we might have ever known. And so in living with that layer, we find ourselves wearing masks, and those masks keep us safe in our little box. And even as we play or fulfill a role that is expected of us, it drains us because our true self is hidden away emotionally and mentally. It exhausts, you know, so you're, because you're always playing a part, but it's not the part that your heart belongs in. We might end up feeling conflicted, you know, because we want desperately to break out of the labels and expectations that confine us. But the fear that's driven by vulnerability makes us pause. Do we really have the courage to allow ourselves to be honest about the things that really matter to us? Now, to be vulnerable is defined or labeled as weak, soft, feeble, even raw. And vulnerability is that feeling that, you know, I think that you and I, or that we experience when we're not sure about something and we're leaving ourselves open because we have no idea what the outcome is going to be. And to me, though, there is something so very powerful in the word vulnerable, because this is the very place that courage and strength is born. How beautiful as that. Courage could not exist without vulnerability. It is having that courage to show up, you know, at that time when you have no idea how your truth is going to be received, what people will think of your authentic self. Are you going to be rejected? Are you going to be ridiculed? Are they going to laugh at you? Are they going to attack you? Will they embrace you? And so therefore that influences how we might act or respond. And we might even make up stories, you know, and the stories that we tell ourselves are self-protective in nature. It keeps us safe, you know, so that way we're not opening ourselves to or setting ourselves up to being attacked or laughed at or ridiculed. And I guess to make it easier to therefore be in that place, it becomes even more important that we surround ourselves with a supportive community, those who want to know, who want to learn from and be with who it is you or I really and truly are. And so this therefore, it means that we need to be, I suppose, clever about how and with whom we share our vulnerability, because our vulnerability is not for everyone. And as we get stronger, then we can decide for ourselves what it is we want to share, with whom it is we want to share, and when it is we want to share our true self, our real self, our authentic self. So the power then stays with us, it stays with you, it stays with me, and therefore it is not aligned to the boundaries of the dictates from the box, if that makes sense. And this also then brings me back to one of my most favorite quotes that I know I've mentioned before, and it's one by Theodore Roosevelt, and it was taken from a speech that he delivered in Paris. I think it was the 23rd of April, 1910. And what I've actually done this time is I've kind of made it mine, I guess, in the sense I've changed some of the words, you know, so it made sense to me and I was able to relate to it, I think. And so you'll notice that, you know, when I sort of said, it is not the critic who counts, not the person who points out how the strong one stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the one in the arena whose face is marred by dust and sweat, who strives bravely, who messes up, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But the one in the arena knows best in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if they failed, at least they had a go, and they could never be amongst those cold and timid souls who neither knew victory or defeat. And so for me, I would say those living in the limits of their confines, their feedback will not and should not count. So unless you're actually in the arena being your authentic self, being your real you, then those who aren't taking part, whatever they have to say, it doesn't matter. And when it comes to leaning into being who it is you are meant to be, I guess the most important thing to do would be to trust your intuition. Deep down, we know what we must do that is right for us. Though we often don't, because that is more likely that it would take us out of our comfort zone. A dear friend reminded me of a story of the old dog lying on a nail, whimpering. He'd rather be uncomfortable than take the step to something better, for that would require effort. And maybe that's what holds us back sometimes. It's the baggage that we carry with us. It becomes difficult to let it go so that we might then be free, you know, to live a life authentic to ourselves. And therefore, I guess it means it has to come from us. The outside world does not and cannot fix you, as it were. It has to come from within. It has to come from you. It has to come from me. And we shouldn't let our fear define us, but it does. And this is where the challenge comes in. We stack all the potential fear-driven scenarios in our minds, and that then becomes paralyzing. I don't know if any of this is making sense. It is a journey, I guess, and it starts by looking at what it is that is holding us back from being comfortable with who we are. And sitting with that and leaning into that feeling. There's a lovely saying, those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. A bit simplistic in this scenario, because often those who do mind are the very ones familiar and perhaps closest to us, therefore making it harder because we care. But you get the gist. But let's turn it around. What if we looked instead at what could go right? What if being ourselves is what was needed all along? What if being yourself led you to being the one who made a positive difference in someone else's life? What if being true to yourself led you to experience and have an extraordinary life? So that then leads on to the next question. What if I don't know who my authentic self is? Okay. Now, George Bernard Shaw said, life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. So many of us have been on a journey of finding ourselves, whether that be physical or mental or emotional or psychological. Now, when you think that the word find is to locate or obtain by search or effort, what is it exactly that we're hoping or looking to discover? Answers? The person I was? That person no longer exists. Instead of looking desperately for a version of ourselves that we believe already exists, why not start from the beginning and build a brand new you or a brand new me? You know, who do we want to be? Who do you want to be? What dreams do you have that you want to fulfill? Yours, not someone else's dreams. If we lived our life based on other people's standards and other people's codes, we'd be setting ourselves up for failure, I think. And because it doesn't feel right, we distract ourselves, I think. And distraction is a handy way not to face life. You know, during difficult or challenging periods, we distract ourselves with TV, with social media, with alcohol, with food, you know, that sort of thing. I know that when going through a challenging time in the past, I used to play music really loudly, but that was because I didn't want to hear my thoughts. And it wasn't until I faced and embraced whatever it was that I was trying to ignore that I began to learn about what it is that was important to me, my values, my interests, my dreams and ambitions. The point here is, and I take this from something I read again somewhere, but I can't remember where this time, we have only so much control over how we are perceived. Our version of ourselves that exists in our minds is the one that needs to be the most important. Think about it. Every hour that we live a lie is an hour gone forever. We will never get it back. So do we really want to live our life according to other people's definitions or expectations? It's uncomfortable, I know that. So here we go. Try this as an exercise. Clasp your hands together, interlocking your fingers. Don't think about it. Just clasp your hands together and interlock your fingers. And then unclasp your hands and then do it again. Don't think about it. Just do it. Which thumb is on top? Now that is habit. It feels comfortable. Now, move your whole hand one down so that the thumb of the opposite hand sits on top. How does that feel? That is out of your comfort zone, and it takes some getting used to. So I guess the thing to do is practice with small little steps if needs be, but take the steps. Ultimately, when it comes to being ourselves, we need to make the decision on how you and I want to experience life. We all have an expiration date. What an awful shame if we didn't get to take part in the journey to its fullest along the way. Being who we are meant to be is an adventure in itself, and one that can be incredible fun if we surround ourselves with those who accept, love, and value us as we are. What a blessing indeed that would be. So until next time, keeping it real and unrefined as always.